Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss about the problems, questions, and issues you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Professor Salman Nakavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Professor Salman Nakavi is a faculty member at the Al Mustafa University and also a researcher on the Islamic issues in the Hawza Ilmi Afkum. All right, we have been talking about parents as educators, and we reached a point, a very important point that you differentiated in the previous episode, was that emotional things are not only always that come out of that subconscious thinking or irrational thinking. Our emotions can be guided by rational thinking as well. As we saw, the highest level of emotions in the event of Karbala, that had a very sound reasoning. You explained that all. Now, in order to bring that emotional development in our children, what else would you like to share?
Actually, when we deal with our children or with any other human beings, when we are engaged in a relationship, there are many feelings and emotions which are there, which are expressed in our behavior. But those feelings and emotions emanate from anxieties and stresses that we have.
Yeah.
We are maybe as a parent, as a father, or a working mother, even when we are at work and we are facing so many challenges at work, when we come home, that baggage comes with us.
Okay.
Or when we, for example, studying at a college or a university and we have children, we're stressed up about our studies or many other things which are there in our lives, many challenges which are there. So sometimes we can't relieve ourselves of those pressures in the workplace.
Yeah.
And those feelings and emotions which have become pent up in us, they are released at home in our relationships, because that's the most easiest way of doing so. You, when you go to the place of work, you are facing your boss, and you can't even talk in front of him in a higher tone.
Tone, yeah.
So you feel stressed up, and you come home, and you relieve that pressure in front of your children.
In front of your children, unfortunately.
And on your children. So that is a very difficult situation. I mean, what's their fault?
Because that way a child is learning how to deal with his wife tomorrow, how to deal with his own children tomorrow. If he is stressed outside, he can easily bash out at the family. That's what we are actually teaching our children.
Of course. So when we say a child has become trigger happy, I mean, trigger happy becomes trigger happy because he sees his parents become trigger happy, not in the literal sense that they start using a pistol or a gun or no, they start shouting at each other. For example, parents, if they're not able to manage the relationship between themselves and they are quarreling and fighting and shouting at each other and abusing each other, so that what impression is that going to give to their children? So that is very important, that before we even think of having children, we should be able to manage our own feelings and emotions. The anger, we have to learn how to manage our anger. Anger is not a bad thing. Anger can, in some situations, changes into it is a form of your
self-defense.
Self-defense, exactly. I mean, according to one school of thought of ethics and morals, anger, which is called ghadab, it has
a positive side as well.
It has a positive side. All right. It is expressed in courage.
Yeah.
And a negative side.
We want to know more on that, actually, how it is a good thing and how we can teach our children it's a good thing. After a short break, dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Salman Nakavi and we're discussing the control of emotions. Well, you said anger is a good thing. How?
So, let me talk about one of the ahadith which has been narrated and quoted. Imam Ali alayhi salam has been quoted as saying that, look, human beings, when Allah Almighty created the human beings, He created them with two things. Two things which He had given to the other creations. For example, He said, Allah Almighty created the angels,
yeah,
and made them pure intellects.
Okay.
Angels have no anger, they have no desires, they have no feelings, they have no emotions.
They're only intellectual creations.
They're intellectual creations, pure. And if you want to call, if you want to relate intellect with light.
Okay.
They're light objects, for example, shining things, intellectual, pure lights, shining things, for example.
Okay.
Just as a metaphor, of course, because being intellectual is much beyond that. Then he says that he created the animals with two faculties. One faculty of anger, which is called ghadab in Arabic.
Yeah.
Anger. And the other is of desires and lust.
Okay.
And in my words, and as you has also mentioned, anger is a self-defense mechanism that is there in all animals. They protect themselves from harm.
Because we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakim, He's all wise. He does everything on the basis
and
of wisdom.
The desires.
So if he's putting this anger in a human being, it must be for some good thing.
Exactly, exactly. And the second thing is the desires he has. Things the animal, whoever, they have desires or lusts, they want to acquire those things which sustain them and make them survive in the environment.
Yeah.
So they need to attract, they need to absorb food and other things.
Yeah.
The need for the opposite sex.
Yeah.
These are all based on these desires that are there in the animals.
Yeah.
And then Imam Ali says that he created, Allah Almighty created the human beings with both things.
Mm-hmm.
Intellect.
And as well as these anger
and the desires of the animals.
Okay.
So as far as the human being is an animal, has animal instincts, which are there in other animals.
Yeah.
The anger, as we said, the self-defense mechanism.
True.
And which is necessary for survival also.
Yeah.
and the desires for attracting and absorbing things which are necessary to sustain life. Food is necessary for sustaining life.
Yeah. So we came to a conclusion that anger is actually a good thing because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acts with wisdom. So He would not put anything in a human being which is not for His benefits. Well, we'll talk more on that topic after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
Regarding the sixth verse of Surah At-Tahrim, the 66th Surah of the Holy Quran, that is, O you who have faith, save yourselves and your families from a fire. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam said, save your families from fire by enjoining them to do good and forbidding them from evil deeds.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're talking about the emotional development in children and how parents can act as guiders over there. Well, Professor Naqavi, you made a very good discussion on anger is one of the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in a human being. But we as parents often tell our children that anger is a bad thing. Anger is a bad thing. One should not get angry. One should not get angry. Do you think apart from telling children that anger is a bad thing, we can actually teach them it's a self-defensive thing? You have to have anger where you see Islamic guidelines being, you know, they're not being worked upon. Society, if you were a male, you need to have that male feeling when you're seeing female without hijab and all. So you need to have that, what we call in other words as gairat in one of the languages. So what do you say about that?
Yes, if you allow me, I would like to recall the hadith which I mentioned from Imam Ali, that is quoted from Imam Ali. We were talking about the relationship between rationality and emotions. It is brought about in this hadith by Imam Ali, alayhi salam. He says, if, as I said, that the human being has the intellectual faculty as angels have, and also has the animal instincts in the form of anger and desires.
Yeah.
Now, he says, whoever is able to bring about these two faculties, the animal instincts, under the authority or under the influence of the intellect, becomes angel-like. Rather, he even surpasses and excels the angels. He can achieve heights where angels cannot even go there. The Holy Prophet, on the Laylatul Mi'raj, when he went to the heavens, there was a stage, Sidratul Muntaha, where the archangel Gabriel said, I can't go further.
Beyond
that. So the human being can surpass angels.
All right.
When at each stage of perfection, which is much beyond the angels.
All right.
But if he, on the other hand, his anger, his lust and desires subdue his intellect, he falls to a lower level, even worse than animals.
All right. So we came to know about a lot of points that there could be a human being can go even beyond angels if he goes towards the proximity, and he can even
if the intellect is able to manage his desires.
And he can even get lower, worse than animals. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you want to listen again, you can go back to our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. You can go to the tab, Call of Islam, and out there you can search Islamic Upbringing, and you'll find all our episodes over there. Thank you so much for being with us once again. And in case you have any questions, you have any issues, you have any anything you want to ask about the Islamic upbringing of your children, you can feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until another session, fi amanallah, God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says
says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone.